Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What will come from TV 2022? More or fewer new networks? A surge of original series? A new interactive TV environment? Hub Entertainment Research Principal John Giesengack turns on the forecasting when he joins me next. Polaris Lives. After a several-month delay, this new hip-hop culture service began running through Vizio smart TV sets last week. We'll check out its early existence and 2022 plans next half hour with founder and principal chairman, Ramon J. Dukes. Also ahead, more multicultural channels come forth, Disney reappears on YouTube television, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Verbal Reason, and Amazon Music. This just in, it's Christmas week 2021, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Welcome to this very special holiday week, and welcome to the first of our Christmas week 2021 triple header episodes. We're on today, Wednesday, Thursday at this very hour. 36 degrees at the top of this hour here in the New York metro area, where we originate from. Happy to have you with us. Great guests coming away for the full hour. We invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Be interactive with us. Just pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Get into our chat room as well and be active there. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, connect with others using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you and us. Jim Giesengack from Hub Entertainment Research, the predictions for TV 2022 start coming your way live from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, after these news notes. With less than 2 weeks before the end of 2021, some smart TV products are becoming launch pads for new multicultural channels. Roku is playing home to a pair of nets from UKW, a new venture co-created by former USA Network and IM Media executive Doug Holloway. One is UKW Media, featuring family-centric content. The other is Urban, that's URBN TV, presenting a wide selection of films, TV series, and documentaries. Over at Chromecast, actor and entrepreneur Tim Reid, that's the Tim Reid of WKRP in Cincinnati, Frank's Place, Snoop's and other series, presides over Legacy Plus Television, a full-time outpost for African-American and African diaspora subject matter. We are trying to get a hold of Doug and Doug's partner in his venture, that's Judy Kim, as well as Tim Reid, and we hope to get them on as early as this Thursday's episode. We'll keep you posted. All those Disney-owned networks blacked out this weekend at YouTube TV are back in view this afternoon. YouTube and Disney came together for a new multi-year carriage deal, exact terms not disclosed. Now quickies, LG is the latest smart TV set maker to promote a channel dedicated to interactive fitness classes. We need to talk about Cosby, that's W. Kamau Bell's new docuseries, will debut on Showtime January 30th. All four episodes will also play in person at next year's Sundance Festival. Saturday Night Live executive producer Lorne Michaels tells CBS Mornings he may depart that role 3 years from now. SNL marks a half century in NBC in 2024. And fast-growing indie content enterprise Boat Rocker is investing in Tea Time Pictures, co-owned by actor-producer Dakota Johnson and former Netflix executive Roe Donnelly. Boat Rocker has similar deals elsewhere under study. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, one of the principals of Hub Entertainment Research, a company that we feature on this program. We want to find out where TV is going, get some sense on all that, John Giesengack. John, welcome in.
Hey, Simon, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and happy holiday season to you and everybody at Hub. Let's get started with your overall thoughts about where TV 2022 is going to go.
Well, I think we're at the, I was going to say at the end, although maybe it looks like we have a ways further to go in the pandemic here. But it's a really interesting time to be in this industry, even for an industry that changes at the pace that TV does. 2020 and 2021 were really there was a lot of upheaval in the TV industry, and there was a lot of changing of habits. People finding themselves at home with an unprecedented amount of time to fill, just as there were more and new and bigger streaming platforms being launched, I think really created kind of a perfect storm to change people's behavior. And I think that as we emerge from the pandemic and things start to go back to normal, some of those habits will revert to the way they used to be. But there are also multiple genies, I think, that are out of the bottle and things that have changed about the way that people choose and find and watch TV that are not going to go back the way they were before.
Mm-hmm. Let's go into the first of these five projections that your organization put out in the last week or so. The first involves Roku. There's no question this year that Roku has become a major smart TV provider. We've seen it become not only a carrier of content, but a producer of content. They just produced the Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist holiday movie, which has gotten great reviews. They just came out with the first of what they hope will be 50-plus series over the next 2 years, the Now from the Family Brothers. And they're also doing interactive stuff as well. You say that Roku is going to be acquired. Why that scenario?
Well, I think that one of the really interesting things that's happening right now, and this is reflected in a couple of our other predictions as well, and I think what a lot of the other people around the industry are following is that you know, if there's one thing that today's TV consumer needs, it's aggregation. So the number of providers that they've all been using has grown to a degree, you know, larger than what we've seen before. And smart TVs, and especially the companies that make the operating systems for smart TVs, have really been able to, because they address that need, because they give people an easy way to manage all of these different TV platforms, they've really inserted themselves at the headwater of where TV content gets discovered and chosen and people decide what they're going to watch. So whoever runs that smart TV operating system has a lot of control over everything that happens downstream. And Roku is, you know, it's kind of an upstart company, at least compared to Amazon and Apple, the other companies that it's competing with for this type of work, who are not necessarily TV manufacturers. And they've got a huge market share inside the U.S. And just from our point of view, for another company, let's say Apple, that, you know, has positioned themselves, the Apple TV and Apple TV Plus are really a lot more about being an aggregator, about being the interface between people and all of their TV platforms, than they are about being a carrier of original shows. And so in our minds, we can see a scenario where Roku would make a really good fit if a pricey acquisition for one of those companies to have a much bigger foothold instantly in lots of households around the country, but especially in the process for how people find out about new shows and how they decide which ones they're going to watch.
Yeah. A year ago, John, Roku's head, Anthony Wood, was saying, we are not getting an interactive television. That is not part of our modus operandi. And here we are a year later, and the answer is yes, they are. They launched Food Network Kitchen in May. They launched casual games from various providers, and in late October, they gave developers an interactive kit to help create interactive services. What role do you see, A, Roku playing in interactivity, and second, what's your thoughts about interactive overall? Do you think that next year is the year, based on what happened this year, that interactive TV is going to break loose, both interactive content and interactive advertising?
I think that there's a lot of potential now for, and maybe very much in the next year, as you asked, for interactive TV and interactive advertising to become a big thing. This has been the kind of thing that has, you know, it's been something that's been spoken about for a while, and I think the technology has existed to make it work for a while. But consumers aren't really into things that are just sort of done as a gimmick. They want things like interactivity that are going to make their TV viewing experience better. And I think we're seeing now a lot of interest in the part of video providers into getting into things beyond just video. So we see Netflix, for example, investing in mobile games that Netflix users can get for free. That's not interactive TV, but it is expanding beyond just the base of video content. And we also see things like sports betting being integrated by, for example, by Sling TV and by Dish into their set-top box so that the betting experience is right alongside the game that you're watching. This is something, obviously, that all providers are interested in, and the networks and the leagues themselves are all spending a lot of time on. And the reason I think it's going to work this time is because it's something that adds to the experience. It's something that is intuitively goes with what people are doing while they're watching that content. And this is the same thing for advertising. If the interactivity is done well in a way that adds to the, you know, makes the ads more tolerable at a minimum, but maybe makes the whole TV watching experience more rewarding at best, that's something that people are really going to, I think, be enthusiastic about. And it's something that Roku, with their ad platform and with the reach that they have in U.S. households especially, are really well situated to provide.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with John Gigengack. He is one of the principals at Hub Entertainment Research. He joins us live from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised on our first of three Christmas Week 2021 episodes. Happy you're with us along for the ride. Tom and I'm up with you down from where he is here in New York. 36 degrees at the top of the hour. We have a question or comment for John. Go ahead and make the phone call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next episode in this triple header is on Wednesday, same time, and we have a huge two-hour episode for you. Topic, which is one of the mega content services out there. They have some big plans for 2022. We'll talk about them in an exclusive interview off the bat with General Manager Ryan Chinatry. Then we've got more predictions about TV 2022, this time from technology company Wide Orbit. You'll hear from Chief Product Officer Will Opperman. And then we'll talk to an entrepreneur by the name of Rebecca Gitana. She has put a special called Healing Through the Home on Roku and other smart TV sets and devices. She's the host and producer. You'll hear from her. And finally, Fox's first new series of 2022 is going to be The Cleaning Lady on January 3rd. We've got a double-header treat for you. The creator and executive producer of that series, Miranda Kwok, and from Queen Sugar, the showrunner, Melissa Carter. That's Miranda Kwok, creator, Melissa Carter, showrunner of Fox's new series, The Cleaning Lady. You'll hear them in an innovative exclusive interview to wrap up the 2 hours. It's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Another one of your predictions, John, is smart TVs rule and social media becomes a key app there. In fact, TikTok in recent weeks has gotten on some smart sets, most recently LG. What do you think about, A, how smart TVs will rule, and secondly, about the role social media may play through the television set as opposed through the smartphone and other devices?
Sure. Well, I think smart TVs and you know, there's a bunch of us here that make predictions. This is one of the ones that we all agree on, is that smart TVs are really situated to become a much bigger factor over the next, you know, the next year and beyond. And that's because they are aligned with what seems to be the biggest need that TV consumers have today. So as I mentioned earlier, during the pandemic, we saw the number of providers used per person rise to the highest number that it's been since we started to keep track of it. And the biggest frustration that people have is that they're really enthusiastic about all the shows they have to choose from and all the providers, but the task of finding a show that they want to see and the number of clicks that they have to go through, let alone maybe even things like finding a new remote or switching inputs in order to get that TV show on their screen, the friction of that process is a lot higher than people would like. So smart TVs make it so that people can easily manage all of the providers that they have from one device with one remote control and with one login once they set it up for the first time. So that's attractive to consumers in general. If you add to that the fact that it's pretty hard to buy a TV set these days that isn't a smart TV, there are going to be smart TVs in more and more households. And in fact, we found that of people who had a smart TV, 40% of those people said they bought at least one smart TV during the pandemic. So that was a time that people went out and really invested in their home entertainment setup, and a lot more smart TVs came home. And not only are there more smart TVs out there, but the number of people who are actually using the smart capabilities is going up each and every year. And in fact, the number of people who said that the first thing that they use when they want to watch TV, their first stop for television, is an app within a smart TV, that number doubled between 2021 and 2020. So they're increasingly becoming kind of the home base for how people watch, and that is a great thing for consumers. It makes TV much more wieldy. It makes it a lot easier for them to get the most value out of all these platforms that they have, but it also means that it has the potential to disintermediate whatever device or whatever provider they were using to to run these apps before now. And that also means that the companies that run the operating systems, especially Roku and Amazon, have a lot more control over which providers people even learn about to have the possibility to add them, as well as which shows they discover and which shows they watch.
That leads us to the third projection, which you just alluded to, which is you believe that more companies are going to create their own operating systems for television. And we have some new TV players also. We have Amazon, which already has introduced a feature called Smart Dashboard, where you can control other smart home products on the TV set, whether it's your lights, both indoor and outdoor, your home security camera, your video doorbell, you know, your microwave oven, your coffee pot, et cetera, et cetera. And Comcast has their X-Class model, which is also out in the public, where they're saying maybe we will use it as a way to do interactive education or interactive telehealth, things like that. So the question for you is, number one, how do you see people differentiating the how do you see these smart TV makers, the current crop of players we have now, plus the newbies like Comcast and Amazon, and maybe who knows who else, how are they going to differentiate each other? Is it going to be creating channels as Vizio is doing, as LG is doing? Is it going to be interactive services, which we hear Samsung might do, maybe with a system like Echo? Is it going to be with more multi-channel bundles and that focus on original programming? How do you see it playing out?
I think all of those are going to be things that matter to people. But that, you know, if you want to think about differentiators, something that they can offer that other companies can't, proprietary channels are now something that they all offer. So that, I think, will pretty quickly become table stakes. I think some of the channels, like you mentioned the Roku channel earlier, they're putting a lot more effort into their own original content, and that's some really pretty impressive brands for that already. But it'll still be, you know, a proprietary channel, which is something that you can get from these other companies as well, where I think that Comcast and Amazon have a big opportunity is to use the TV as a hub for aggregating things beyond just video. And that's because people already use Amazon to aggregate, you know, their TV, but also their music and their sneakers and their peanut butter and everything else you could possibly buy. You can buy it from Amazon. And Comcast is an aggregator traditionally of TV, but now they are also providing people's broadband, of course, and their wireless or their home phones. And are quickly ramping up a lot of the connectivity with other smart devices inside the home. So I think that both of those two companies have the opportunity to position the TV set not just as the place that you go for entertainment, but as kind of the hub that you use to control lots and lots of other devices and your relationships with lots and lots of other companies, some of which are video companies and some of which do other things. And that's something that is more difficult for a company that's just a video provider to emulate.
Now that Amazon is in the TV making business, of course they have Amazon Fire TV, do you see Amazon breaking loose in 2022 with things like interactive shopping, where if you want, you can buy any Amazon product you want through the television set? And because you have Alexa, you can use your voice and your remote control and or remote control as opposed to your smartphone or some other device. And do you see, for example, Twitch, which is not yet an interactive TV service, becoming an interactive TV service through Amazon sets, as well as IMDb TV, which we understand, which is Amazon's ad-supported content channel, which now is running interactive ads?
I think that definitely their plan is to have that Alexa interface kind of be persistent and stay with you every place that you go. So there's now Alexa in your car. There's Alexa on your smart speakers. There's Alexa on your TV set. There's Alexa on your glasses now that you can buy and actually wear Alexa on your face. So I think that for sure their plan is to have that be your knee-jerk reaction, the first place you go to control or do or transact with just about anything. And, you know, I'm not privy to any plans of theirs in terms of incorporating shopping, you know, that sort of interactivity into programming in general or into IMDb TV specifically, but I would be really, really surprised if that wasn't the case, and I definitely think that that the cards are set up right for 2022 to be the year that they really start to bear down on that.
We're talking to Hub Entertainment Research Principal John Gigengack about Hub's thinking about how TV 2022 will unfold. If you have a question or comment on our many minutes with John, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Next Monday and Friday, we'll have our final episodes of this year. A week from today, we will have, among other things, our annual celebration and remembrance of the people who passed away in front of and behind the TV camera. We call it Tomorrow Be Televisor Members. And we'll also have my final thoughts on how TV this year went. And then on Friday, my thoughts about where TV 2022 is going to go. That's all next week, Monday, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Big prediction number 4, Netflix feels the heat. How?
Well, I think that Netflix is probably in for a little bit of a dose of what they did to the cable TV industry when they first came out. So they were the, you know, kind of the anti-TV. They had a huge library of a lot of content that wasn't necessarily the most compelling content because they didn't have any originals yet, but it was arranged in a way that someone could actually use it and graphically with images instead of a big grid, and you could find something within that, those thousands and thousands of titles that you were interested in, even if you didn't know what it was before you sat down to watch TV. And they've had that streaming market to themselves for most of the time they've been around. The TV networks for a long time licensed their best content to Netflix. And finally, that the worm has turned. A lot of those licensing agreements have run out. All these media companies now have their own streaming platforms, and they are saving their best content for their own brands, for their own providers, and to have their own relationship with consumers. So Netflix is still the 800-pound gorilla, but the amount of sort of must-see content that's being produced off of Netflix is now more than the amount that's being produced on Netflix. So there isn't anybody else. I mean, there probably are one or two other people actually next year that'll spend as much on original content as Netflix does. But certainly in aggregate, there are going to be other platforms that you need to have in addition to Netflix to see all the shows that you're really excited about. And Netflix will go from being, you know, kind of the center of the TV universe the way that cable was before they replaced it. Netflix will now go from being the pure center of the TV universe to one of a number of big planets that are sort of orbiting the center. It'll be one of the things that people need to have, but not the only one. And we've seen this in one of the questions that we ask people is, what's your default source for TV? Out of all the sources that you have, what's the first one that you turn on when you want to watch? And Netflix is still the most mentioned out of any provider other than live TV, and it's the most mentioned out of any streaming provider. But this was the first year since we started asking that question in 2013 that Netflix's share went down. And the share of people who said one of the other of the biggest SVODs, Hulu, HBO Max, Disney Plus, climbed as well. So the share of time that's given to, the share of attention, I should say, that's given to one of those other big streaming platforms is increasing. The amount that's going to Netflix is decreasing a little bit. So they're still the biggest player, but they're seeing more competition, and that means that they have to put in even more effort to try to hang on to those subscribers as people are adding more and more and their streaming budgets are getting stretched further and further.
The final prediction you have is that library content will become more valuable, and there might be some people who will disagree with you because they're thinking, well, you know what, original content really is what drives things along. And we're also, it looks like we're going to see some interesting new players come into the field, like Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment to both to Crackle Plus. There's Binge, which is the one for Netflix for gamers that is going to do a lot of original content. And we may even have former President Donald Trump doing TMTG. He's got Conte John, the executive producer of Deal No Deal, behind him, and also former, soon to be former Congressman Devin Nunes presiding over this, who is trying to become sort of a new family-friendly, non-woke version of Netflix. So how do the two sort of gel out here?
I think that original content, you're not going to be able to get by without that completely, but it's important to remember that there's now so much of that out there that it's not the differentiator that it once was when Netflix launched, you know, House of Cards, for example, which was their first really high-profile original series, and that even though not everybody watched that, just the fact that they offered that kind of distinguish them from all of the other streaming platforms and all of the other TV networks that were out there, because it was seen as something special and something unique. Now there's that caliber of original show on all of these platforms. So people are still excited about those shows, but that by itself is not enough to get people to watch. And I think one of the interesting things that's happening is that some of these companies are getting really good, you know, the ones that have big libraries to leverage, like a Viacom CBS or Warner Media, let alone Discovery Warner Media. Today's consumers are really interested in new things to watch, but they are not necessarily dead set on having that be a brand new show. As long as it's new to them and the quality is high, it has almost, you know, probably about the same amount of appeal as a brand new show does. And we know this is true from our research, and we know this is true from things that had happened in the marketplace. If you look at how successful shows like The Office or Friends were on Netflix, most of the people that watch Friends on Netflix weren't even born the last time a new episode of Friends was created, but it still attracts a massive audience because it's a really good show and there's a lot of episodes to leverage. And so I think that we will see this happen, especially with some of the fasts like Pluto, who seem to be very pointedly kind of pursuing a strategy that's based much more on library content, but library content that's organized by genre or by category instead of being organized by network. So people who are really into Westerns can find, you know, as an example, can find shows that are Westerns on any time of day, available on demand or on streaming, and they're not going to care too much as long as it's new to them. If it's not a brand new show, as long as it's high quality and it's in a genre that they're interested in, they'll watch it. And that can be a huge benefit for companies that can build an audience with that kind of library content, and they don't have to spend as much money and take as big of a risk as is the case with costly originals today, that you know, there's so much competition that even a really, really good show might have trouble finding an audience once you watch it.
Yeah. It'd also be very interesting to see if Apple TV Plus, which had a great second half of this year with a lot of original shows from Smigadoon to Swagger to Invasion to Foundation, all critically acclaimed, all getting audiences, many of them already renewed for next year, how they will do with original programming next year, especially with a lot of new program development deals that they've been popping up over the end. The same thing with the program development deals in Netflix and so forth. Quickly before we go, your picks for when all is said and done next year, best new series of the year, sleeper new series of the year.
I actually have pretty high hopes for Halo that's coming out on Paramount Plus, and that might be my pick for best show and maybe for sleeper show as well. Just from what I've seen from the trailers and a couple of other things I've seen, it looks empirically like it's going to be a good show. But we also know from our research that crossover content these days, shows that are based on some really popular brand or story, are set up for success, relatively speaking, from the beginning. And so we've seen that obviously with all of the different Marvel launches across TV and movies and video games. And Halo has one of the biggest, strongest fan bases that stretches back some time. They've had a lot of success with animated series. They had a couple of small kind of miniseries on streaming before this, and those did really well. And I think that the show is positioned to do really well because it looks like they're putting a lot of production value into it. It's a really cool story, and I think it's going to have a lot of baked-in fans who are going to tune in on the very first day because they're excited to see it, you know, in addition to a lot of people that will probably sign up for Paramount Plus to get it.
Yeah, I see the trailer for Halo. I think it's going to be really – it could be very, very special. My pick right now for the Best New Series of the Year, Lord of the Rings on Amazon. This works and it's spending a lot of money on it, this could be a major franchise for Amazon and for TV overall. And my pick for sleeper new series of the year is The Sandman on Netflix. There are a lot of fans out there who love what Neil Gaiman did, and if he's involved with this series, and it combines both the anthology nature of the comic and the graphic novel series with the Sandman character itself, this could be one very special program that is not on a lot of people's radar screen.
I like your picks too. I'm watching both of those as well. I'm excited about them.
And for those of you out there, if you want to get all of the projections that Hub Entertainment Research is making about how your TV 2022 will go, here's where you go online, hubresearchllc.com. That's hubresearchllc.com. John, thank you again for joining us. A pleasure all the way to you and everybody at Hub. Have a wonderful 2022 ahead.
Thanks very much. You too.
Will do. Take care. John Giegengack joining us live from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. When we come back, Polaris is finally on the air through Vizio Smart TV sets. The person who made it happen, Ramon J. Dukes, joins us live after we pause the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tunein.com. You're home for the best internet radio on the planet, together reaching over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Women Who Jam. That's tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. A lot of fun. Women Who Jam. Great music, great fun. That's tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best feature 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, the first of our Christmas Week 2021 triple-header episodes. Simon, I'm with you live from New Web, New York, 36 degrees at the top of the hour. Have questions or comments for our guest ahead, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up before the top of the hour, our classic trivia question of the week. Five prizes in play, the most we've ever offered in one shot, and they can be yours for this holiday season if you come up with the correct answer first. But first up in this half hour, a couple of months ago, we previewed a new service called Polaris, a hip-hop culture channel, and we had the person behind the service on our program. Well, last week, Polaris finally got on the air through Vizio Smart TV sets available all over the U.S. of A. Joining us live from Northbury, New Jersey, once again an area exclusive, the founder and principal chairman of Polaris, Ramon J. Jones. Ramon, welcome into the program again.
Thank you. Thank you, Simon. How are you, my brother?
Very, very fine, thank you. Happy holiday season to you, everybody. What's it like to finally get Polaris up and running?
It was wiping the sweat off the head, but now really rolling up the sleeves and digging in. It felt great. It felt amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, this is, like I say a lot, you know, this is the culmination of 20 plus years of hard work and dedication, like, you know, trying to get to a point like this where we were 100% in control of our vision for the content we produce. So it feels amazing.
And for those who didn't catch you when you were on this program a few months ago, what is the vision of Polaris?
The vision for Polaris really is to, it's to impact the culture, it's to educate the culture. It's a sense of inspiration for the culture to show people, like, hey, you could do this just as much as we can. You know, when I started out at MTV, like I said, you know, that was a situation where I bumped into that opportunity. No one really gave us, like, a roadmap how to get to that point. I just happened to meet some people who worked at MTV, and I really took it from there and got involved in technology, which I really had no – but I learned it, you know. And throughout that entire journey, you know, about – a good 6-7 years into it, just looking back, I was like, wow, like that's pretty incredible where we are right now. And, you know, I was like, these should be opportunities that should be presented to people. Like, we go to school, they give you textbooks and they teach you, like, do this and do that and do that. And, you know, there's a lot of all these untapped opportunities out there that people don't really put in front of you. It's kind of like it's catered to, like, a special community. So, you know, I always said to myself, if I was in a position, any level of position where I can help other individuals, you know, to avoid, like, you know, similar obstacles, I would do that. And this is one of them. We've been doing this. We've been a self-entity, like, for the past decade, pretty much. But this is really, like, our first, like, showing out, shall I say. So, It's just to further the culture and put it in the hands of ambassadors, people of the culture. There's platforms that's out there that's not really being controlled by the culture. You know, it's dictated, but there's a difference between it being dictated and actually being of people of that sense of the culture, and that's us. And this is one of the first times that you see something on this level, so we're going to take full-fledged advantage of that. We appreciate the partnership with Vizio and having the faith, you know, in us to execute. And, you know, we're about 4 days now since we've been live, and it's just like it's been an amazing experience. The feedback has been incredible. People love it, and they're like, this is just an insight of what we've been waiting for, and we're just getting started.
Well, let's hear if we can go live with a phone call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hey, hello, you're on the air. Go ahead. What's your name?
No, I thought I gave an. No, that's me. I gave this number to one of our people from our staff that probably is them, but they probably didn't know that they were able to talk. They were just calling in to listen.
I see. Okay, got it. Ramon, talk about some of the early shows that are on this on your network. For example, you have a regular feature called The Daily Check-In. And I also wanted to have you talk about what I think is one of the most interesting shows you have so far called Polarverse, which is a 3D animated project.
Correct. So we have a, you know, when we originally started, we announced three projects of what we have. You know, one of them is a sports-related show called Bridge Business, which is a gentleman by the name of Horse, who is a member. He's one of the original members of a rap group that the artist Nas had put together. Him and his co-host is Sway. So they have a sports-related show where they talk about boxing, et cetera. And then we have our daily show, which is like our flagship show. It sets the stage for the day. You know, when you look at something like ESPN and, you know, you turn ESPN and first thing in the morning, they generate a conversation that they hold for over the course of the day through different perspectives from their hosts and their various programs. The host for that show is Shaheem Reed. He taps into daily news topics. We premiere exclusive music videos, and we have exclusive interviews with some of the biggest names in music and the culture overall. So we're really excited about that. And then we also have we're launching in phases. So this is phase one. Phase two is going to come top of January, which we'll have. We're going to start rolling out two documentary series that we've been working on. We're really proud of, which dates back to the origins of hip hop, which is we have one around. There was a iconic fashion group called the Shirt Kings. The Shirt Kings, alongside Dapper Dan, the infamous Dapper Dan. These were the guys who outfitted like some of the biggest hip hop stars with just tools that they had in their basements. These guys were graffiti artists, so they created all these customized shirts and pants, et cetera. And, you know, at that time, like Big Daddy Kane and LL Cool J, Salt and Pepper, you know, even sports related, Mike Tyson was, they would go to these guys and get like their shirts made, et cetera. And if you look at where the culture is today, you know, fashion is such a big deal. And, you know, like even like the resurgence of Dapper Dan, like who has, you know, he's aligned with Louis Vuitton, I believe, or Gucci. He's a very big deal within itself right now, too. Like they're being acknowledged after like years of work. And we're going to tell that story of the official Shirt King story and how it got to the point to where it is now. So we're really, really proud about that. And then we're also introducing a documentary that we're doing around like the untitled story of Jam Master Jay through the lens of some very important individuals who has never spoken out, but doing so for the first time now. And when I say that, you know, when Jam Master Jay was, his life was cut short, tragically, he was in his recording studio with his business partners. He had two business partners. And two of the individuals who were in there was longstanding being considered eyewitnesses, and they never spoke out. They didn't do any interviews at all. They're part of how, you know, what led to, like, the arrests, what happened last year with Jam Master Jay. And they're going to tell their story now. what they've been through, their journey, and talk about what happened that night. You know, we have a bunch of exclusive footage of Jay himself that's never been seen before. You know, a lot of people have been talking about this case. You're talking about this is about like 17 years now. And over the course of all this time, nobody's ever seen Jay speak. You know, anytime Run DMC did interviews, like, Jay was not really the one to be the most vocal. You know, and Jay had the vision. It was Jay's idea for them to dress up in all black and wear fedora hats and wear leather and wear the Adidas with no laces in them, et cetera. Like, he was the brains behind the concept of Run DMC. So we're going to tell that story, and, you know, it's important to me. I've covered the Jam Master Jay case. I'm from Queens. I've covered the Jam Master Jay case for, you know, since it happened. You know, his studio where the unfortunate incident took place was literally like three blocks down the street from my house at that time. And over the course of the years, like, you know, I'm a journalist at heart at first. And over the course of the years, like, we got the trust from his family and his friends who came to us and was like, hey, we don't really trust the media, but we respect you guys, and we know that you're going to handle this with care. And, you know, we traveled the path with them over the course of these years, you know, coming up on two decades. And, you know, our reportage, like, really got out there to the masses and had an impact where it eventually led to individuals being arrested. You know, and we're using this as a model example to show that, to help repair, you know, the default that's happening within the urban communities where, you know, communities don't trust law enforcement. We're using this as an example, like, hey, if, you know, if you guys can treat the people fairly in these communities, maybe they might be willing to work with you, which could lead to situations like this, you know, where there's justice. You know, at the end of the day, that's all we want for these families. So they don't have to keep going through this stuff. So we're very happy with that one. And that's just the beginning. It's going to be an evolving thing.
Yeah. Well, welcome John66 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. John, if you have a question or comment, make the call or use the room, 646-652-2906. So look forward to having you say something, and as soon as you do, sooner we address it. We've got Ramon J. Dukes. He is the founder and the principal chairman of Polaris. That's the new hip-hop culture network, just started a few days ago on Vizio Smart TV sets. And if you have a question or comment from mine, make the call. Like I said, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name is Ramon. Joins us today from North Bergen, New Jersey, here in the New York metro area. Simon, I'm with you live from wherever you are. This is the first of three episodes of our Christmas week 2021 triple header of the Pro About TV's current and future. We got a big two-hour edition coming your way on Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now. Topic. Another mega content service got some big plans for 2022. We'll speak exclusively with General Manager Ryan Connectry. Then we've got more TV 2022 predictions from Chief Product Officer at Wide Orbit Technology Company, Will Opperman. We'll also hear from entrepreneur, host, and producer Rebecca Gitana. Her new project is a special called Healing Through the Home. It's now running on Roku and other smart TV sets and devices. And finally, for the brand-new Fox series premiering on January 3rd, it's their first dramatic series of the year, The Cleaning Lady, the creator and executive producer Miranda Kwok, and the showrunner from Queen Sugar, Melissa Carter. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Ramon, as 2022 unfolds, what kinds of shows do you want to add to your schedule, original shows? And are you starting to get proposals from people who would like to do scripted shows, unscripted shows, additional docu-series? Specials, et cetera.
We have, you know, aside from the few documentaries and documentary series that I mentioned, the Jam Master Jay and the story on Shirt Kings, we're also going to be rolling out, we have a show that we're going to be rolling out which delves into the nightlife of the stripper activity, specifically zeroing on the actual women's personal lives, you know, which is a story that's never really been tapped into, you know, the things of what they go through, them taking care of their families and taking care of their kids, et cetera, what they do outside of that time that they spend in these various clubs, which is to basically pay their bills. You know, you also got to understand that, you know, these gentlemen clubs are where a lot of music is broken. Like, you know, you have A&Rs from record labels who literally go to these clubs and give the DJs these records just to use it as a testing ground, and these records blow up. A lot of you know, a big part of Atlanta is the center of hip hop. And part of the reason for that is because they have this culture where a lot of people go to these clubs at night and they go there and they hear all this brand new music from like local artists and they blow up. So we're going to tap into that. We're going to unveil a new show sometime probably around Q2. We're also going to have a big stunt that's going to be around the MLK holiday. And we're going to do a huge stunt around Black History Month and as well Women's History Month in March. And then we're just really tapping into working with, we have a pool of a bunch of content creators that we're going to showcase a lot of their films coming up after Women's History Month sometime in April, leading into the summer. And then the summer leads us to festival season, and we're going to have the official Polaris Awards sometime probably before the end of the summer, which is going to highlight, you know, social justice, celebration of music, women's rights, technology, and fashion and overall culture.
Mm-hmm. You are Polaris's, the sixth network that Vizio is putting together under this catalog of features. These are channels that have been created under this Vizio brand, and they're already. And you're the first channel that came to Vizio as opposed to Vizio co-producing with an outside independent player. How is Vizio supporting you not only in being the best network you can be there, but also perhaps getting your distribution to other smart TV sets and smart devices?
I think that Vizio's, their vision is, it's incredible. You know, and, you know, I'm not a pat myself on the back type of guy, but I will say the fact that they partnered with us, they believed in the vision, was very smart on their behalf. You know, you look at a lot of these fast television platforms. This is, you know, it's. I was listening to the gentleman before you. It's mainly based off of a library of licensed content. We program this channel every single day from top to bottom. You're talking about anywhere from 5 to 13 hours of original programming. Like, we shoot on a daily basis. We treat this as any other media network. That's how I was trained. That's how we operated when we came up. So we're looking to revolution. We're looking to I don't want to say revolutionize, but push the fast TV model concept further within that mindset. And then at the same time, in reverse, we have a very aggressive digital strategy that what we have, we partnered also with Amazon and a company called Nomad to really leverage the digital strategy like never before. Vizio has definitely done a great job with giving us this platform, really believing with us, you know, believing in us and giving us a tremendous amount of promotional support, you know, like on the screen and, you know, in the marketing space. Their technology is great. And then also as well, like, you know, putting us in front of a lot of important brands and sponsors. You know, we have relationships as well. You know, again, we're a self-contained unit. But they've done an amazing job of getting a number of sponsors in front of us, which you're going to see a lot of genuine partnerships, you know, again, starting with phase two, top of January, second week of January, with us and some of these sponsors. So Vizio's, they've been great. They've been great. And I've gotten nothing but a tremendous amount of feedback, you know, from Vizio owners, you know, people who I know, family members, friends, you know, peers in the music industry, et cetera. And they're like, this is great. I don't even really need cable no more. So yeah. I think it's safe to say they've done their job.
Yeah. Both of us, Ramon, were at Adweek New York when Vizio sponsored a breakfast, which, among other things, they introduced your service. But also they had a study that they have done with Magid about 1,600 people who are smart TV users. And they were asked, what kind of interactive applications would you like to use? And what was very interesting is that anywhere from about 40% to over 50%, half of those surveyed, expressed great interest in a number of things, whether it was the ability to interact with live weather and traffic reports, the ability to order food, with menus on the screen, and then you order using Alexa or Google Assistant through your television set and get it delivered, or buy products, or use your webcam or put your home security camera on the television set. Has Vizio talked to you about ways to make Polaris an interactive service, or have you thought since that event of ways that Polaris, as next year unfolds, could become an interactive service?
We're definitely going to be utilizing the live space on a very large scale. Again, us being a self-contained unit, you know, one of our main priorities of our business was live content creation. We work with a thriving festival called the Rolling Loud Festival, which is like the biggest hip-hop festival by far, biggest festival hands down. We have a team that produces that live stream and have a very great relationship with the owners of that festival. So we're looking to push that in a different envelope and somehow tie this into what we're doing here with Vizio and beyond. And then we've also been we're going to get into an interactive feature involving weather, which is interesting that you mentioned that. There's a couple key individuals who we're taking from the Instagram platform, and we're going to use them in a model where it's going to be integrated into not only Vizio, but it's going to bounce off of our digital platform in a live element. And we also want it to be available on, let's say, like your Alexa, you know, so if you have it, there's going to be specific keywords where you can pull that up and you'll have that video function as well. And then we also have been playing as well with the home security concept of what you were talking about, having some interesting conversations with Ring, you know, around that as well. So we're definitely looking to push the envelope. You know, it just was a thing where we wanted to secure the familiarity with this new partnership with Vizio. Like I said, this is something like really out the box. You know, this is not how they normally program their content. So we wanted to make sure everything was teed up, all the bells and whistles was in place, because we have some really advanced conceptual ideas along the lines, like what I mentioned, like, you know, working with like Alexa. Like, we're already, you know, working, we have a partnership with Amazon currently. So we're exploring like a number of ideas, and then just really going to go after the live concept model where, you know, you don't necessarily have to have, it's going to be branded Vizio, but we're going to expand our programming beyond Vizio, but it's still going to be in partnership with Vizio in multiple avenues, from your Alexa to possibly your Apple Watch to, you know, other different like phenomenons that people associate with themselves with on a daily basis. So next year, come Christmas time, there'll be gifts that you can give to your loved ones that will be, you know, applicable with Polaris/Vizio content. So yes, we're going down that road.
We have a great technology. Polaris, it's now available on Vizio smart TV sets. They're available all over the U.S. of A. For more details about the service and the smart TV set online, go to Vizio.com. It's Vizio.com. And Ramon, if anybody wants to find out Polaris, does Polaris have a website that they can check out as well?
Polaris does have a website, which is launching later today. I'll just put it out there. It's streaming.watchpolaris.com.
All right.
We're launching.
Once we see the website up and running, we will mention again on our next show on Wednesday afternoon. Ramon J.
Yes,
Duke,
sir.
From Polaris, thank you again for joining us. It sounds like it's going to be an incredible year ahead for you. So from all of us here, have a fantastic rest of this year, and then go out
thank
and make
you.
An incredible 2022.
Thank you. Go to Vizio. Go to Channel 700. I promise you this will change the perception of urban culture as we see it. Thank you so much for the opportunity again.
You're welcome, Ramon. Take care. All the greatest.
You as well. Happy holidays, everyone.
Ramon J. Jukes joining us live from North Bergen, New Jersey. Classic trivia question coming up, but first some words to the fine folks at audible.com. American Girl. It's a wonderful new audiobook by Wendy Walker. You can get it right now if you become a trial member of Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from. You listen on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televise. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, the aforementioned earlier, Amazon.com, and great health and wellness information that can make a difference for you and someone you know while the supply lasts. Remember, if you're an Amazon Prime member already, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one. And if you don't just want to go right ahead and subscribe, you can. And for your first 3 months, it's only $5.95 a month. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. Second week, we're offering the question. And if you first with the correct answer, five prizes in play. The unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook, the Betty White book by Ray Richmond, Freak Brothers t-shirt, The Loud House from Nickelodeon Crayon Set, and the 20 Years of Christmas with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That's the DVD of the special. It was on last Monday night on PBS, last Thursday night on BYU TV. Here's the question. On what ABC series did John Ritter play a cop? On what ABC series did John Ritter play a cop? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and your mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you get in, do so, because we want to have a winner this holiday week. And remember, it could be you, and for that, all the very best. I want to thank both of our guests for being with us today and all of you for tuning in. Remember, we have a big two-hour edition, our second Christmas 2021 triple header for you. That's again on Wednesday, same time. We'll have topic general manager Ryan Chinetri. We'll have wide offer chief price officer Will Offerman with more TV 2022 predictions and forecasts. Healing Through the Home, host and producer Rebecca Kitana. And from the new Fox series, The Cleaning Lady, their first scripted series of next year, we'll have creator, executive producer Miranda Kwok and showrunner from Queen Sugar, Melissa Carter. It's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed not only today, but all year long, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. Check out our podcast on the iRadio Podcast Network and other places. And we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about those TV 22 forecasts? Polaris as well. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and on Twitter. I do respond to whatever you have to say within 24 hours. Remember, we love hearing from you because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Eddie Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website maintenance provided by PodSite, the internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator, guitarist Fakus. Bobby Televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. Makes a great holiday gift for you with someone you love. For all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. We are back on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe and great. And remember, if you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, check your medical history, and then make a great choice and make sure it's your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.